Hey guys, it's your boy Pat, coming back at you with the next episode of the Hollow Down Cigar Lounge podcast. Again, this glorious and bastard, or bastard, or... It's Derek.
What's up, sexy? What'd you call me, though? Go back to that.
Don't ask questions.
I've been called worse.
So, we're here hanging out. Great weather today. I guess I should do that. Support the Hollow Down.
Get it.
Had it out of the way, set shit up. So, we got a pretty sure this is classified as a Toro, but it is really close to a Gordo. So, let's flip the script, go ahead and light, and start smoking, because we're going to be here smoking this after the show is done. So,
before I tear this label off, though, okay, can we talk about this? Like, this is excessive.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let him show this to you real quick. Cause
I don't know if this is going to focus. Well, if I line it up, like, come on. It's like a cigar condom,
yeah.
I guess.
Cigar.
I mean, it's textured really nice and it looks cool.
Second show in a row we've mentioned a condom.
Is it?
Yeah, I did it last time.
You know, we just be fucking around. But yeah, she is an edgy girl. I mean, she's even called Extreme.
Yeah, it is the CEO Extreme.
CEO or CAO?
CAO.
There you go.
Sorry. I've been stuttering lately.
This is like straight out of 90s edgelord Hollywood TV. Like, this is like the Crow
of
cigars.
On the wrapper, of course, this is technically your standard band, right? It just has, it's not going to matter. Why am I pointing to the camera like I can see shit? So up here, you know, you got your CEO Extreme, your standard band. The rest of this wrapper literally is giving you the info that we're going to give you a little bit about. So it has up here three country cocktail, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Honduras. It tells you on the wrapper what the wrapper and filler is. The wrapper is a Ecuador Habano Ligero. The filler is Nicaraguan Ligero and Honduras Ligero. And it mentions quad down here, and it says that it is a four Ligero blend. So,
I mean, all jokes aside, it smells fantastic.
It smells fantastic. Like,
this is
so. I'll disclose. I've had these before, but it's been several years, so I do not remember. Other than pretty sure I enjoyed it, but I can't remember what I got out of it or anything of that nature because it's been a while.
So really sturdy. This one's a
feels like it's well constructed.
Oh. Yeah, I'm worried it might be
a little too much.
A little too much.
Well, if we do, got the draw tool in there.
We'll get to the end of it.
So
I ain't got shit to do today. Let's go.
Let's go. Well, let's do a cold draw and make sure I don't need to do a cross. That it pulled very well, so hopefully yours will do the same. So, light this up. Still doing that air pocket shit.
Helicopter.
You know, the last couple weeks, it's still been doing this, even though I've purged it a few times. The tank on this bad boy is huge, which means it gets a lot of residual air that I have to purge every time I fill it up.
I don't know why I fucking said taint. The taint on
tank.
The bad boy is huge.
Tank. Got a big old taint, man. But it's a different burner that's popping than it normally is. Oh, that is bold right off the bat. Silence of the first light and draw.
This is the only time in the show where we're quiet. Enjoy it.
Fact. It's the one part of the show your wives will appreciate it. That is bold, my friend. Sits on the back of the tongue. but it's not like we're going to read the details like normal, but it's not. Normally, you get a bold cigar that smells as dark. Your first pull's like you're getting, even if it fades out, you get that like spice or pepper or bite, and then it's. I didn't. It's bold. It's there. It's chewy, but it's not spicy.
I got a little bit of spice, but like I don't an acceptable amount.
And I would purposely use the word spice over pepper. I've said before, I'm not enough to be able to tell you what type of spice or anything, but I can usually tell if it's leaning more spice or pepper because you don't get that like bite.
Oh yeah. This one lets you know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. You're smacking your lips on a cigar, that's a damn good sign.
Yeah.
So let's let me pull this up. We're going back to Cigars International today. I know we read directly from...
it's extreme for sure.
It is extreme.
They did it. They made an extreme cigar and called it extreme.
And again, it is CAO brand. I was about to say there's not much they do that I don't like. I don't know if there's... There's a few brands out there that I like every cigar that they have. CAO might be one of those brands. If there's one they don't like, I can't think of it right now. So, but... I'll skip the long story, but on the profile, it is a full cigar, 5 out of 5 on the blend and the profile, which we clearly got as soon as we lit it up. You get that boldness. It begins with a dark and oily Ecuador Habano Ligero wrapper. Has a rich and spicy Nicaraguan binder. Has a robust combination of long fillers from Honduras and Nicaragua with a dash of La Estrada leaf in the mix. So not a normal profile. They call it a bouquet that is rich and hearty. So I'm sad Brent's not here because they talk about toast again.
Is it leather toast?
Leather toast.
It is leathery.
It is leathery.
I got that just from the smell. That's what got me excited about it.
And if you haven't seen the previous episodes, the quote to leather toast is because I skipped over a damn comma and was supposed to say it was leather and toast, and I just said leather toast.
Punctuation is important.
Punctuation is important.
The difference between helping your Uncle Jack off a horse and helping your Uncle Jack off a horse.
Facts. Toast, charred oak, some nuts, espresso, and they do say black pepper. Normally, if they express to black pepper, you can actually get that harder bite of, you know, more pepper than I would claim like a gentle flavoring spice. But this one, it's at least balanced in the initial light. And I understand we're right here, we're just started, but usually if it's a pepper bomb, you can tell.
Dude, just from a construction standpoint, like this is probably one of the best feeling cigars I've ever had in my hand. Like this thing.
So no, before no homo, hold your hand up, because I'm before I say something, okay. I'm curious.
Yeah, your hands are bigger than mine.
So
you fucking gorilla.
The reason I say that is the this, which you're probably in that subtle difference in our hand size. The reason this one probably fits so well, and it does fit, is probably a good allocation to you why I prefer smoking Gordo so much, just because I've got bear paws.
Yeah.
So the size helps, and yes, size in a cigar equals time, but so I do smoke smaller cigars and Robustos and Toros and even some Lanceros and stuff if I don't have much time, but when I got my relaxed time, I go to this because,
yeah,
you know. And it does, it fits.
Well, not just from a size perspective. I'm talking about from... So initially, whenever I was about to light it up, and I said, it feels like it's just rolled too tight. It's actually not. Like, there's...
Yeah,
It's a surprisingly... Not a loose draw. The draw is just right, but it feels like I'm going to struggle with this thing. Like, and I could beat a kid over the head with this and probably cause some damage.
If I'd have known this before I ashed up, if you look, it doesn't have the, like, straight... I always not real good with these terms, but there are several different terms on how they roll the ash. But it's not just a burrito roll. It looks like it's more of a flower or a book roll. So you can kind of see the ash doesn't just flat. So even though it's dense, it's giving it those air channels. So whoever rolled these did a very good job.
Agreed, yeah.
Because I also expected it to be dense and have to pull out the poker, and unless we run into a random stem at some point, nah.
Like I told you before the show started, like I wanted to give him shit just for the label, but I didn't really want to follow through with it just because it smelled so good. And I kind of feel bad for starting off with the whole label thing. You know, my apologies, CAO. You know, a fine product. A little edgelord for me, but damn, it's a good cigar.
I mean, if you're naming it Extreme, I guess you got to do something. You know what I mean?
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
They went big. Yeah.
Definitely went big.
Hence the condom.
Oh, there's a reason. There's a
hollow down, y'all.
Hey, like I say, I always say, stay safe and hollow down. We're referencing on this. Stay safe.
Carry your guns and other things.
Carry your guns and your firearms. Moving on. Anyway, there's a buddy of mine. This is going to go back several years, but. Real good friend of mine from California. His daughter, when I met her, she was 4. Now she's 16, 17, in that range. First time I ever met her. Keep in mind, little 4-year-old. Now Derek is tall. He's also a Derek. Derek is taller than me.
We run long. You gotta be able to keep going, man. Just brush it off like a high.
Well, I had about 4 different responses. I was trying to decide on which way I was gonna go. But he told her, and of course she's a Marine, so we went off last names, and you know, Pat hadn't quite stuck, so it was still just Patterson at that point. And who's that? And Derek's like, hey, that's Patterson. And before I sat in the booth, I can't remember the restaurant. I wanna say it might have been Red Lobster, or I don't remember anymore. And she walked in, she's like, before I could sit down, she's like, hey, this is an old school class, hey, did you buy your tickets yet? It's like, what'd you go? To the gun show! So, every time, and I'm sorry, Reagan, if you ever see this, I apologize, but that was my first memory of you, so, love her to death, she's amazing. I got to get out to Cali a couple years ago and see her after a big time gap, but cool girl. If I can ever decide what I want to do, she's also like a digital artist. You know, I've got some anime paintings in my house, and I told her if I can ever decide, I've got a couple ideas of like a custom one, I'm going to commission her to do it. I just haven't figured out what I want.
Anime, you say?
Anime.
I too am a fan of anime. Weird, right?
Yeah.
We come in all shapes and sizes, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Blue Eye Samurai yet?
It's in my watch list. I've not watched it yet.
Do it. You will not regret it.
I've also got like 15 things in my watch list. So
make that one come to the front. Yeah, just skip down to that one.
There's if you're anything into anime, there's the, you know, they always talk about the big three and the final three that kind of, you know, floats around between Bleach or Naruto, One Piece, Fairy Tale. It's people consider the big three among, and Dragon Ball Z, like the three out of those 5, depending on who you talk to, but mostly because they're all very good, very long term. Naruto is technically still running in its 3rd iteration of his son Boruto, so
never got into that one.
Oh,
or One Piece, or I was a Dragon Ball kid.
I've tried to watch One Piece a few times. Not too big into it. Bleach was my first one that I got into long term. Because I liked
4 seasons of Bleach.
I liked the Bleach. The problem with Bleach is the, and this happens in several shows, but the main storyline is fantastic. But right in the middle of it, the studio in Tokyo went on strike. So there's a lot, you know, most anime has some like fillers if they're trying to catch up on the show from the manga and they want to keep the airing going. Bleach had a lot because the first part of the show got so popular so quick they didn't just want to scrap it.
It got heavy quick.
Heavy quick. So they hired some temporary writers while the studio was on strike to keep it going, but they couldn't use the original script because of the contract, so they came up, there's several offshoots and fillers that they worked in later, but it's so drawn out because of the strike, it makes it, a lot of people lost interest because they felt like, oh, it's going off the deep end. And I was one of those until one of my barracks mates was like, hey, I saw this news article, they're on strike, like, don't give up, they'll come back eventually. It took a while, but they came back, and if you finish it, oh my god. Like, if you fast forward all the way past to, like, Bounto filler, which was, like, a year and a half long, on, like, when it was live, it's ridiculous. Once that's done and it gets back to the main storyline, that was probably the neighborhood cat.
That's Bigfootsteps. Bro, you got a Yeti?
Nah.
We got Bigfoots! We got Bigfoots out there.
We got a cat that... It's not my cat.
Go get my gun.
There's... I've seen a possum one time. Never saw it again, so I don't know where it went or if it was just coming through. I've seen a fox on the camera a couple times.
I saw an otter the other day on one of the roads in my neighborhood.
That's random.
Yeah. Well, we've seen foxes out there. I mean, obviously... So we live in an area where like everything is fox, like blue fox, silver fox, red fox, and there's foxes out there. There's also fucking otters, which is weird because we don't have a lake or anything.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. I almost hit it with my car. And then I thought about it.
An otter's lost.
There's a big creek, but...
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, so if you ever go back, I can't tell what number, find out like we're... The Bounto filler ended, restart there, because the way Bleach ended is fantastic. They just brought back the Thousand Year Blood War, like after 15 years. Oh my god. But if you haven't finished Bleach, it won't be as oh my god to you, but.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god. But, and then, but in, I've got, and I haven't shown them to you because since we moved, I haven't put them back up yet, so. There, I found a random girl on a random Naruto fan group page on Facebook that was like taking pictures and repainting them like hand drawn. Fantastic. So I commissioned her. I got six characters from Naruto. So they're like 8x8s. So I have them like in six. And she gave me an extra one of Sakura that's a little different. And all I told her is like, what characters I want, do half of the headshots. More of a solid background and just their face. And then I've got, I think they're 10x14s. I had her do these as well, but like they're a pyramid. So 1, 2, and 3. I sent her the specific pictures and I was like, use these as inspiration. And has Asta from Black Clover. It has, Eren and Mikasa from Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has from Sword Art Online.
Oh, that's a good one too. That was one my wife actually watched with me. That's how good that is. Like, has, if your wife watches anime with you, it's a good anime. That or she really loves you.
Yeah,
keep that one.
That one. It's Sinon. Oh my god.
I don't remember the names.
Asuna and the main character. Oh my, Kirito. Kirito. So I have those three at the bottom. Great. And what I want is the one I haven't done is, because this is going to be, there's renditions of this out, but I want to get it a different artist so it's a different style, just so it's different look. But I want to take from Naruto like a wide mural to like go over like a closet or a door.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side have, sorry.
No, you're good.
Have like Naruto over here, Sasuke over here, and then like as they grow, and each time like each one of them like has a power jump or they get a different skill. Change, and then end together. In the third Great Ninja War, when both of their powers, Kurama and Hisasano, where they fight together and like they're on top of each other. But that's going to be, you know, something like custom commission. I haven't figured out how I want to do that yet.
I'm going to do something similar with South Park characters.
That could be fun.
I'm totally bullshitting, but South Park's
that
awesome.
Still could be fun.
We were talking last time, like, how the fuck was South Park's not been canceled yet? Like, those guys are
still
geniuses.
Aired.
It's still going. They're the most offensive people on TV. We fucking love it. Whatever they're doing, they should be teaching a school. Okay, fuck your feelings 101.
Right.
Now, that's one of those, like, we still, every now and then, just like, we'll sit down and have half an hour to spend together, me and the wife. Like, all right, what do you want to watch? And it's usually either whatever series we're on Hulu or South Park. South Park is the staple, man.
Dude, my memories of South Park. I wasn't really a big South Park fan when they first came out. I remember I was in Miramar while I was in the Marines. The Chow Hall. Every single morning, there was a TV in like every quadrant on the wall. Most of them had news, but there was this whole like wing over there in the Chow Hall that those TVs played South Park on reruns constantly. And what side of the Chow Hall do you think was packed?
That one.
That one.
I would hope so.
So that's how I really got into, you know,
with the garrison.
I was not allowed to watch South Park when
you,
it first came out. I was almost an adult the first time I saw my first episode of South Park, and thank God.
So. You know, if you want to know where the Kyle references come from,
well, fuck you, Kyle.
Love it. That's about all I got for, you know, impressions.
So, how's your New Year's going?
It's been
good.
I know
the last episode we did, we probably should address it. It is New Year, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do a New Year's recap, and then we kind of started talking about concerts and Disturbed and random shit, so we didn't really recap. We had New Year's show with Brett, but we more talked about the Fluffer Nutter. Last time we got sidetracked again. So, you know, we've already completed a solid month. We're in the second month, and that would be February for those of you who like me that couldn't spit the fucking word out.
Month two.
It's been good. January went by like I took a nap and woke up.
Dude, we had snow. That shit was crazy.
Bruh.
Fucking ice, dude. Like, so we ended up trapped for two days.
You northerners that are used to this, I applaud you. We get it once every few years. We had a snowstorm a couple years ago that was okay. The last really solid snowstorm we had was 2021.
One of those two.
We called a snowmageddon. For y'all, it was probably like a Tuesday. But we don't have the infrastructure down here. You know, our pipes are not below the freeze line. We don't have the salt trucks. So when it ice is over, you're just waiting on the sun and you know, physics to reevaluate the earth. And this one, on top of it, the ice storm only lasted a few days. But we got some devastating wind and rain and out of it. And we're just not used to that. So luckily, I have moved closer to work since the last ice storm. Thank God.
Me too.
Because the last time, it took me a hot minute to get to work. Luckily this time, you know, it's close enough that I could put it in four-wheel drive and go slow. And I was on close enough that nobody gave a shit that I was going that slow. But I got to work easier.
Dude, the last one, I was still working in South Louisiana at the time, and I was living up here. So normally,
oh shit,
yeah, my home base is about 2.5 hours from here, so I can make that in 220, and I make that trip once a week down and once a week back every time, no problem. Ice storm came through, dude. It took me probably 9 hours to make that trip because I-49 was a solid sheet of ice.
Oh
the
yeah,
whole fucking way. I've never been more scared. I'm a professional driver. never been more scared to be behind the wheel of a vehicle.
Like, 49 Louisiana is one of our...
not known for their excellent driving to begin with.
Nah.
You throw in some shit like ice and snow, these dumbasses, I'm going to do 70 because I drive a F-150. Okay, we'll see you in the ditch then. Bye.
One of our coworkers, he lives an hour and a half away, and he's got a Ford, and got good tires on it. And he said he started to count, and then he stopped counting the people that, you know, he pretty much went, I think 40, the whole hour and 10 minutes he's on the interstate or so, and he made it here, and he was like, he's like, I lost how many trucks I could go by me, and then a few minutes later, I'd see him over the ditch, and I just wave at him.
Yep. Yeah, it's not like, good. I made a little trip to the grocery store because I needed to make a chili. Like, I have this thing in my blood. Like, if the weather gets cold, I'm making a gumbo or a chili or something. I'm a cook. So I took the 5-minute trip to the grocery store.
So the last show where we talked about we were having some schedule issues, a couple of us include like, well, if you'd have hit me up an hour earlier, but I'm in the middle of meal prep. And for him, I know, like, I'm not talking like he throws some frozen chicken breast on the grill, like my type of meal prep. Like, his meal prep is like hours, like legit fucking chef style. So,
no, it's not like that.
Well, I mean, compared to me, I'm a cook, but like, you actually plan to like actually cook properly.
Yeah, I have to.
So, sorry to interrupt.
It's just me, though. I mean, the wife doesn't have time to cook at all. So, I mean, if I don't cook, we don't eat.
Right. But
no, but anyway, yeah, that 5-minute trip took me like 10 minutes, which is not bad. But and thank God there was nobody coming. I ended up just very slowly, probably 15 miles an hour, just locking my brakes up and very casually sliding out into an intersection. Ford Fusions are not meant for ice. So, need some snow chains, or maybe, I don't know, some fucking snow plows would be nice. Louisiana, can we do something? It freezes every other year. I know it's like really expensive, but it's like a
we had enough salt to basically salt some of the major parking lots, but like, we don't have the supplies and infrastructure to start salting all the streets. Like, they do what they can. We don't have plow trucks.
Bro, we got a fucking ocean a few hours south. You mean to tell me we can't get our hands on some fucking salt?
No, it takes planning, it takes logistics,
and just get a helicopter full of seawater or Gulf water, whatever. Just go drop that shit.
Yeah,
it'll help. Introduce something.
Do something. So anyway. Yeah, we've had had some storms. Weather, you know, we'd have ice storm, we'd have freezing rain, and then 70-degree great weather, humidity. Have another cold front come through, we're freezing our ass off, you know. And then luckily, no, you know, we didn't get a second ice storm, but it was fucking cold. And then it was back to the 70s. It's like
it went from 14 degrees to 68 degrees in the span of 7 goddamn days.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But we made it through Mardi Gras season.
I know the people listening up north are like, 14, that's nothing.
Yeah,
bro, we keep 100% humidity.
Yeah,
it's different. It's the lowest I saw the humidity get down to was 83, and I was like, it's a fucking parade outside. We need to go outside and celebrate.
Facts.
I just found out that I could actually track the humidity on my weather app. It stays above 85 every fucking day, and it's January.
So
it's February now.
One of our earlier episodes, and I don't remember, I think we talked about when we were talking about, because, you know, your Tupperware Boveda thing, and I was talking about mine. I was like, my failsafe, and this is different from other guys that I see like up north where you're talking about, like, y'all have to get the thermostatic humidors so it can heat and cool to keep your cigars. I only need the cooling version. It hardly ever gets cold enough to give a shit. But my humidifier in my humidor at one point went out. I didn't give a shit. I just opened the fucking door.
Yeah.
And within an hour, it had regulated because, you know, they say that your perfect humidity inside your house for comfort is 30 to 40%. Bro, our average humidity inside the house with the AC running is still like 60%. So it's like, I opened it up and it was fine. So my failsafe to my humidor losing humidity is to open the fucking door.
Just let nature take over.
So I lose my temperature control at that point. I'm at the mercy of, you know, whatever the temperature is in the house, but my humidity's work is fine, so.
Now, all that said, though, I enjoyed the shit out of that cold weather. Like, that's
my, oh, yeah.
That's my jam. Like, I was full on, like, outside chopping wood. It was great.
I don't like super cold, but I do like cold weather more than I like hot, because if you get cold,
put on layers.
You can put on layers.
Mm-hmm.
If it's hot, there's only so far you can strip. And I you know, forget
you
the even
jail.
Forget the even legal part. Like, there's sometimes it gets hot in the summer here where you can be naked and it's still too damn hot. There's shit you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least the cold, you can manage your comfort a little bit better.
Yeah. That's just my thing. I feel like I'm born in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, I should have been a Viking on a frozen battlefield swinging my axe into an enemy's head.
Oh, you'd be fine.
Oh, that would have been great.
You've already got the beard style, so you'd have no problem pulling that shit out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have probably been made fun of by the other Vikings because I can't grow this shit right here, and I don't have enough red in there.
Yeah, whatever.
It's just, I would have been the Viking bitch, but it would have been fine. That would have been great. Viking bitch. I'm going to get that tattoo. Better than a regular bitch by like 70%.
Or
are we sufficiently sidetracked?
Yeah, because I was just trying to figure out how to combine Viking bitch and skinny booty.
No, you can do it. Keep going. You go crack
skinny Viking booty bitch.
I don't have a skinny booty anymore. I've been working on it.
No. So yeah.
Welcome to Hollowdown.
Welcome to Hollowdown. This is what we do. We talk shit and, you know, sometimes we have scripted points. Sometimes we
do. I haven't seen any.
Well, we've had them a couple times, but we just get on off a rampage so far, like.
We don't need it.
We don't need it. So, shit, it is what it is. Like I said, when there's a point that we need to talk about something, we'll do that and let you know that, like, hey, today is for this purpose. But other times, we just want to hang out with you guys, give you a lounge experience to, you know, listen to some idiots ramble in your ear while you're driving or, you know, whatever. The same shit I do when I go to lounge. I, you know, sit over there, smoke my cigar and bullshit with the guys, and I may not even know who the hell they are, but that's fine. Whatever. But to answer your question from 20 minutes ago, probably 20 minutes ago, New Year has been great. but yeah, we outside of the weather, we've actually had a good start to the new year. Gone through Mardi Gras, which that's a busy time of year for anybody here, whether you're Mardi Gras or not. I'm now living inside of one of the parade routes. So that's an adjustment. You know, my old house, I never had that issue. Didn't have to worry about traffic, didn't have to worry anything. So that's an adjustment. But it's a busy time of year for people here. It's fun. I did not grow up with Mardi Gras. I grew up Texas kid, came over here. It's like, what the hell is this shit?
Mm-hmm.
I always just thought it was a time to get cake. I didn't realize everything that went on to Mardi Gras until I got out of the Marine Corps and came back. Moved here before, but I wasn't here long enough to really get involved, and then I went to court. When I came back is really when I started acclimating to Louisiana, and it was eye-opening to everything that goes on around Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even in New Orleans living in hardcore Mardi Gras, and it is still crazy up here.
I would argue that the more hardcore Mardi Gras stuff happens in the really small towns.
Oh, yeah, like Houma.
Go to places like Mamou.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I went to...
Shout out South Louisiana!
I went to one. And I think the one I'm envisioning was in Houma. And they forgot to tell me to never take your eyes off the float. I don't know how many times I got freaking pelted with shit. You know? It's just...
We did Mardi Gras a little different. We didn't have a lot of floats. What we did was... If you were... I don't know, above the age of 10 or so, you would wake up at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, get your get up on, I forget, what's it, is it coffee shop? Is that what it's called?
I'm just not gonna lie.
The full get up, dude. And you get on a horse with all the elders in the village, the older men, and you start drinking at like 4 a.m. riding horses through town. Yep. And you just make the trick. So wait,
I've seen the pictures.
You're telling me you never got caught up in the chicken chase and got thrown in the sack with the chickens?
No.
Was it just me?
I've seen the pictures.
I mean, I've been thrown in the sack with the chickens. It was, I don't know if that's normal.
You referenced this before in just general conversation when I was talking about Mardi Gras stuff. And I've seen pictures, but actually talking about it, I was like, Jesus Christ, that's not just a PR stunt. That's what actually fucking happens. A couple of the nurses from the hospital went down to Mamou, and, you know, they took some pictures of us. They're like, it's not Mardi Gras. Don't make it to Mamou. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was eye-opening. And this stuff I grew up not knowing a thing about. You know, I'm an hour and a half away from it, and we don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Came over here and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I haven't really noticed much about North Louisiana. I haven't paid attention really. But it seems like now that I'm looking at it, there's a lot of parade routes set up. There's a lot of commercials about floats. Some of my neighbors now just go all out with the decorations. Like January 1st, they put up purple, green, and gold like floodlights on their house.
So I've got
all right, let's see you.
A door hanger.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about getting the like permanent LED lights in the house so I don't have to rehang for Christmas. If I do that, then I might, you know, just turn them purple or green or something. But the float stuff is legit. Like, I helped take care of our float and our curve. And, you know, just a few years ago, I realized how many of my very close personal friends were all in the same crew and on the same float, and I got brought into it. Super fun. But the closer it gets, the busier it gets, the more emails I get to making sure things go right, make sure you got to do this, you got to have this set, you got to have this done, this bought, this. It's a lot, all for just this whole like brain dump of everything, and then you relax for a couple months and start planning all over again.
Yep.
You know, it's, you know, the parades, January, February, no, February, you get about a 2 month reprise. May comes around and you're already ordering all your beads that you're going to use next February, because the orders are so massive it takes months to come in for all the crews, you know, everywhere. June, July is coordination for next year's royalty, and we're already back into the new season and we're 8 months away from the parade. You know, so there's like 2 months out of the year of no Mardi Gras, and it starts all over again. So it's a pretty big deal, but it is fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
You know, just from prepping the floats, you know, staging the floats, getting them repainted every year, getting your costumes, getting your beads. It is a process throughout the year, but by the time you get to the balls and the parade season, it is pretty fun. And, you know, to me, I'm not super, like, gung-ho about the royalty thing. It is badass to watch, and it is cool as shit. But I like the balls because it's an excuse to, you know.
Born again.
No.
He like them balls. Sorry. Continue.
I like the Mardi. No, it's not going to make it better. Mardi Gras balls are still balls. Except now they're just big, juicy, and colorful. Anyway. But the the balls, for those of you who are not Mardi Gras, they're basically, this is not meant to be offensive to anybody that's traditional Mardi Gras. I've said this to people and they consider it offensive, but if you don't know what it is, it's a perfect explanation. It is a formal black tie event of a beauty pageant, in a way. Imagine that. You dress up, you're formal. You've got drinks, you've got dancing, but there's a section that you are sitting down, you are watching, and there is like it's a tableau, but it's a beauty pageant of the elected royalty for that year presenting their very, very ornate costumes, and it is a big deal. But it's really a good excuse to, you know, it's kind of the throwbacks to the old, you know, traditions that are kind of melded together, but it's a good excuse to get around with people, to have fun. And that's really the base of it. So that's where it comes out. It's just a big formal party is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, the parade's kind of the culmination of everything. Still doing the bead throwing or the chicken sacks or whatever it is that you do. But
chicken chase, man.
Yeah, chicken chase. But it's a good time. It's It's a lot more fun than I ever imagined it would be when... Mm-hmm. Like, it was a couple years people asked me to get into it, and finally I filled somebody's spot on a float 1 year because I knew everybody on the float, and I haven't gotten off. Like, I was a 1 year, like, feeling like, hey, we got all these beads. She can't make it. We need somebody to throw. Everybody on the float knows you. They got permission from the crew to have a temporary rider. And I threw it. And then a spot opened up next year, and I took that spot and I haven't gotten off.
I mean, stuff, man.
Turned out to be, you know. And it's cool. The interactions that you have, it's kind of like a little club of people from our float. I mean, you have the whole crew, but our float, like, we've got our permanent group chat. So even if we're not talking about Mardi Gras stuff, we're constantly just, like when it's off season, we're constantly still using the float, you know, group chat to bitch and joke around with each other and share shit. So it's a camaraderie thing too.
Yeah. I've never done the New Orleans Mardi Gras thing, but I was there a few years ago on Mardi Gras weekend. So we ended up rolling out as the tourists were coming in, and holy shit, does that place transform. Don't get caught in New Orleans for Mardi Gras unless you intend to be there.
And they have so many parades.
You will get stuck.
There's like three going every day that's a parade day.
And it's hard enough to drive around New Orleans.
So now you've got three sections of town that are cordoned off and traffic's diverted. And, you know, I mean, you're, here, you know, we do, you know, one at a time. They're the only time that we have two, there's like a little micro one that'll go, but it's still a couple hours before we do like one parade at a time. They can't do that down there. They got too many.
Yeah.
And they're all like huge parades. Like up here, we're dropping several $100s for membership. They're dropping several thousand.
There's some big.
There's wait lists to get into those crews. It's, it's, I couldn't afford it if I was down in New Orleans. It's, you know, as crazy as it is up here, it is a whole other animal down there.
Yeah. It's you better intend to be there if you're there. Yep. Now, the weekend before is a lot of fun because you do get that little bit of trickle. There's a lot of people in the French Quarter. There's a lot of shit to do there just in general. So it's the energy there is good. Just I had a feeling if we'd have waited another 24 hours or so, it would have been fucking chaos.
And I haven't been, but I've got a couple coworkers that actually grew up down there and still are in some of the crew, so they'll go down and do stuff. And like when we have our formal ball, and then a couple weeks later we have our parade. Like a lot of the big ones down there, they coordinate the two. So like I don't remember if y'all feel free to correct me if you do know this, or if you know this. Some of the big balls, like it either starts or ends with the parade. I can't remember if they're like at the ball because there's one part like the. Floats, like the royalty floats. Like us, we each have the royalty themselves, just the people. They'll actually bring the floats through or come through part of the ball. It is a very ornate, coordinated deal.
I just do the tourist thing when I go to New Orleans.
Yeah, same. Just
yep.
Like I'm the guy that likes to go to Bourbon Street before it gets drunk hour. So I can go get all the great food and tourism and then leave before it becomes in a stupid town.
I mean, I honestly don't even go to Bourbon Street. I mean, there's so much to do in the French Quarter. You don't even have to touch bourbon to have a fantastic time. Like, there's a cigar shop somewhere in New Orleans. They will hand roll a cigar for you, and they'll dip it in rum or dip it in whiskey or whatever you want. Badass place. You can go down the road and get a $2,000 suit if you want. Whatever you want to do, man. You want voodoo stuff? Go check out the voodoo stuff.
You like want those. The voodoo.
You want the voodoo?
You want the voodoo.
You don't want that voodoo.
No, you don't want the voodoo.
That's the real voodoo down there.
There's real voodoo down there. Careful. So whether you believe it or not, those people do, and it's real.
The gree-gree. You remember that? The gree-gree? Yeah, that's the bad shit, man.
The bad shit. American Horror Story in real life.
You know, there's a lot of horror movies filmed in Louisiana, and they all take place on these really creepy-looking swamp plantations.
Yep.
I think, what was that one? The Skeleton Key? That was outside of New Orleans or somewhere. Yep. There was, I forget what the name of the other one was. But
there is a very big film industry in Louisiana. We used to have it up here, and all I will say is city leadership kind of missed the bite when they tried to reconstruct some tax credits, and they all left. But they're trying to come back. So.
But you guys have G-Unit Studios opening up here pretty soon.
We do.
Yeah, Fitty's coming to Shreveport. Fitty is
not a joke. Fitty's literally coming to Shreveport. And this is crazy. We couldn't work a deal with Bucky's. because they didn't want to, like,
G-Unit.
They didn't want to drop the tax credits with the return of, like, Bucky's brings in like $11 million in revenue to a city, but we wouldn't give them a tax break. But where the city is renting the facilities to G-Unit for $200 a month because they understand, literally, it's $2,400 a year because they understand the amount of revenue, tax credits, retail sales from studio and merchandise and just general events that he's going to bring.
Yeah, just from having artists in town.
Just from having them in town.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's good business move, yeah, I guess.
So that's not just Jabberjaw, that's G-Unit's coming.
That's
so
real.
That's real. Shreveport's getting on the map with 50 Cent.
Hopefully not here in Monaco. That'd be confusing.
Bruh. I don't know. Oh, good shit. But yeah, if the rest of this year, I know they say as you get older, time goes faster, but January, like, flew by. February's trying to do it, so this year needs to slow down a little bit. I'm just looking forward to my next cruise, and it's still months away, but, you know, my next two are booked, one for this year, one for next year.
I'll be excited when I can take an actual weekend and get away from town.
You know, the concerts we referenced last show, that was a good, you know, long weekend. Go up there, visit some shows. Some, you know, it's good to just kind of get away, even if you can't really, like, get away. Just a little micro getaway, you know? Just a change of scenery, get out of town.
Just if I can get to the lake, man.
We tried super several times last year to get to the lake, and every time, like, one of our schedules just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe we can make it work this year.
Maybe. It's not so much my schedule.
I know, like, it's not your schedule. It's the other half.
Jesus Christ.
I love her, but Jesus, she is a busy woman.
Dude, she's... There are no Saturdays free.
No. Some are the complete opposite of free.
Dude, we almost had a chance to get away and go to Lafayette this weekend, and then shit fell through again, so... I think all the homies, like, haven't seen you guys since, like, I don't know, October last year, but maybe one day.
Happen eventually.
One day I'll be a grown-up, and we won't have to one do day. Stupid shit. I'll have all the free time I want.
That'll be nice.
Come visit me on my mountain.
This is why I got to take you up to Woot.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get back up there at some point, but this is why I told him last time that I wanted to get, I don't remember if I said your name. I mean, he knows y'all's face from the show, just like y'all have seen his. I know you haven't met him in person yet, but I don't remember if I said your name or it was just like, you know, one of the guys, but I was telling him that I wanted to bring y'all up there, but I had full intention. Brett would have fun up there. It's not his style, but, like, he would get along with in person, like, but I really want to take you up there because I legit think y'all two would vibe very well.
I told my wife, I think had things gone a little differently and I was a little older, that would be me. And then he said something like, some days I run on caffeine and hate. My wife goes, oh my God, that is you.
That is, you said that perfectly because that is his slogan. Woot, man, your trend is still vibing, dog.
Caffeine and hate.
Yeah, that is.
I think I used that in a job interview once.
So where I met Woot was working security at Mighty Bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, he was a security chief. You know, and he left when his construction business, you know, took off, which is the right move. I mean, it's just an event a few times a year, but you're gonna make a little bit of money or go make a lot of money. What do you do? But every single morning, like, I'm a night shifter by trade, but out there it's day shift, so it works with my other night shift schedule. Every single day we'd get out there at 7 and 3 or 4 of us would bring canteens of Black Rifle coffee, and the day didn't start until we pounded caffeine, had a school circle, and we bitched and moaned. So caffeine and hate was a trend early on.
We used to do the same thing at Budweiser with worse coffee.
Well, he's the one that actually introduced me to Black Rifle Coffee. Like, I'd heard about it. I was like, I don't want to spend that extra money. And
do it. It's worth it.
Oh, I do. There's two or three coffees that I rotate, and that's the...
Yeah, just them being veteran-owned, that's
a big
that's
thing.
All I need big right thing. There.
Absolutely.
I had a subscription, and then I found you could get it at Walmart for a little cheaper, so I canceled my subscription, and then Walmart went up on their prices, so now I kind of wish I still had my subscription.
Yeah, so they still do the sales and stuff, so...
I do have a pretty cool little... it was actually a Christmas present. My wife got me a subscription to a coffee club. They'd send, like, once a month, they'll send me a bag of something from somewhere around the world. Just like I've got one from Rwanda.
I think I saw an ad for this or something.
Atlas.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Okay.
So like once a month now, I get excited. I go check the mail. I'm like, okay, it should be coming. It should be coming. I'm not gonna go and buy expensive coffee now because I know I got one coming.
Right.
And it's always really good. So far, I have not had one that I didn't like.
So I remember seeing the ad, but I remember thinking at the time that I thought it was a gimmick, but
no, it's
tested and proven.
It's
so.
Legit. I still don't have login information because it's kind of hard to, I don't know, the wife can't get into the details. She's like, I don't know, they're just going to keep sending it. Like, whatever. I would like to be able to check the ones that I like and don't like. And
right.
But whatever, man, it's still good. Check it out.
So you realize we just blitzed through this show and unfortunately we're already there.
Is it that time? Where are y'all going? God damn it. Every time you show up and you just leave.
These are the shows on our end. We're just like, we just talked about so much random shit that we had fun and fuck.
It's like,
you know,
is this the end of the friendship therapy now?
Yeah,
I haven't had any of either of those things, friendship or therapy, for a while.
I mean, yeah. I mean, outside of just trying to do the show, we haven't even been able to like. And the last show we did was when he walked in. He's like, "Hey, man, it's good to see you for the year finally." And seen each other
20 minutes at New Year's that we hung
yeah
out
so but yeah because it was a short get together for fireworks and food and then everybody had a blitz. So
I saw the pictures of Matt from later that night. America has fuck.
They had some
my boy.
He's not here. I will post this picture up and possibly the video. This will be a good way to end the show because we. Definitely, I mean, we were safe, but we were also like borderline. But I'm not going to tip you off. I'm just going to show you what he did with the Roman candles.
Matt was drunk when I got there,
and he kept drinking.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he did. He started taking shots. I'm like, no, dude, I got to drive. Like, I know, like, did not stop him at all.
I knew as soon as I walked back there because we were running a little late. He walked back there, and you know. Wifey gave me a little hug, and then there's Matt coming over there, you know, like a boulder. He toasty, man. But yeah, so I will, you know, I'm gonna show you this at the. That's gonna be the outtakes. Is Matt's. So, man, that's great stuff. So sorry, bro.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Like, you barely missed it. Like
I know.
Right
I
after y'all.
By the time we got home, we got the picture. So like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Because we were trying to wait a little bit later, but we wanted to do it with his parents there, and then they had to leave, so we're just like, let's just do it all. So, good time. Good shit. But, yeah, that was before the last show. That was the last time we'd seen each other. So it wasn't even just us trying to get together for show purposes. Like, we hadn't seen each other, period.
Y'all night workers, man.
Yeah. So
creatures of the dark. Vampires.
Yeah, maybe. Luckily, you know, I don't see... Brett every time, but every couple weeks our schedules will pop up for a day, so I'll kind of run across him on the property, so that helps a little bit. But yeah, I'm a night shifter, you're not. Brett's schedule is all over the place. Matt was a night shifter, now he's a day shifter on a different rotation, so now that's tricky. But you know, it is what it is. You get good friends, you just gotta figure it the fuck out somehow.
God bless you guys. I'm an early bird, but not that early.
But anyway, thanks for hanging out again. I have had nothing bad to say about this cigar.
No, it's still kicking ass.
And it's not one to me. I'm halfway through. He's almost, we can say he's almost the last third. And some cigars, you get those differences between the thirds changing. Mm-hmm. This one isn't really changing for me, but it is staying very consistent in its profile and its flavor. It hasn't hit a plug. The burn is, I don't care if it's clean, but you can see that line, how straight it is. That the burn is perfect.
Yeah.
The draw is great. This is good, and it says CO Extreme. It is bold. It is flavorful, but it is not over the top. If you like bolder dark cigars in any form or fashion, this is one I would recommend to try.
Don't be afraid of the extreme.
Yeah, don't be afraid of the extreme. I said I remember smoking it before, but I didn't remember it whatsoever. Mm. But I wanted to try it again, and it's don't be afraid of that extreme. It's a marketing thing. It is bold. It's good. Give it a shot.
Yeah, this was not just going on my list. It's going to the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, this is very good.
I've still never had some of the stuff you've had, but yeah. So from what I've had, this is probably the best cigar I've had since I've started doing the show with you.
There are a couple of the premiums that, like I said, my favorite cigar is a $28 cigar. I can't afford to smoke that every day.
No.
I wish I could. But there's a couple of those lines like I want to introduce you to, but you know, they're going to have to be, even for me, as many cigars as I smoke, there's a single drawer for my premiums that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And I've got hundreds of other shit, but anyway, we'll have to introduce you to some of those other ones. I was afraid to smoke them until I was introduced to them, and now I'm like, fuck. So, but yeah, it's one of our longer shows. Don't give a shit, you know. Fuck it, it happens every once in a while. I have a target time, and as long as we're somewhere in the ballpark,
whatever. I ain't got shit to do today.
So, but yeah, this is one we're not going to put out when the camera goes down. We're going to finish smoking these because this is a good cigar. I recommend it. Anyway, so I guess that's about it. I don't really have anything catchy, so we're going to close out. And then I'm going to show you fantastic outtakes of Matt. But unlike Matt is doing in this clip, until next time, stay safe and hollow down.
Oh, you got background music.
Slow down! Slow down!
Is that it?
I'm dying!
I think that's probably it, yeah.